I think tonight I'm just going to go to Ephesians 6 chapter. Talk about that for a minute. Ephesians chapter 6 is what we talk about a lot. I thank God for his goodness and his mercy. Thank God for all that in this fight.
I'm in the fight.
Amen.
Thank God for his precious Holy Spirit who dwells in us and who lives in us. Thank God for he's put us, that he found us faithful. He enabled us, putting us into the ministry, those of us who are preaching and those of us who are witnessing and those of us who are doing anything in God, where we're serving God's people. It's not just the bishops and the elders, but it's all those who serve God in the capacity. It's not just the, he says, not only is church given gifts of apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers, evangelists, but he says there's also gifts that helps their people who are just go-getters and just get everything done. There's gifts of administrations of people who are able to do business like Donald, like Ella Reed, and all those who take care of finances and do all those things, and people just make themselves available, and there's just so many things that the church uses, and God is the one who enables us and gives us the Holy Spirit. Everybody isn't given the same gift or used for the same reason, and I don't have a problem saying that, because I, for one, can say that, because not everyone can play an instrument.
Yes.
And I can make it seem like when you say that whatever you're doing, everybody else is supposed to do,
no.
You know, you can make it seem like because you sing, everybody ought to be able to sing.
Yeah,
also. Because you're this or whatever. No, that's the reason why God uses all of us.
That's right.
And Paul makes the point of saying that in the body, the body has many members because we all have different things to do. It's not for in the work of salvation. It is not for one person to do, but all of us. And we are like, in God, we're like preschoolers. And, you know, the teacher could do everything. The teacher could take up the crayons and put out the pencils and sharpen the pencils and whatever they do these days and look at all the papers and do all. The teacher could do all that. But, you know, he or she, knowing that the students need to be involved and knowing that they need to have something, she'll have, hey, you know, Johnny do this and Susie do that. And she could, not that she couldn't do all of it.
Yeah.
And what are we doing? God could do it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God does not have to have me lay hands on someone and say, be healed in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
If God wants to heal him, he can just heal him.
That's right.
And
amen.
Does.
And does. Amen.
Many times. You know, and so I thank God for his goodness and his mercy, and I thank God for him putting me in the ministry. I look at Ephesians 6 tonight, and Ephesians is it's a very familiar scripture. We say it all the time, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And I was out walking the other morning, and I think about all the scriptures when I'm walking in Ephesians 6. And 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God,
yes,
that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Or in other words, put on everything God has given you. Everything God has given you. You're going to need everything that God has given you to stand against the devil. You know, everything that God has given you, the whole armor of God. I mean, every aid that God has given us, the Holy Spirit, the washing and cleansing. You know, you can, when it talks about put on the whole armor of God, even when I consider it, it's hard to fight when you're carrying a burden that you don't need to be carrying.
Yes, that's right.
It's difficult to, you know, make it through when you're really labored, when you're loaded down and you're, you know, you're dragging. It's hard to fight when you haven't been refreshed by the Holy Spirit and by the washing of the water of the Word and the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. And you know, and it's difficult if it's fatigue will set in. And as equipped as you are, you know, if you don't allow the Lord to really keep you healthy, have a good spiritual health, the equipment won't save you and it won't do anything for you. It takes for granted when Paul gets down to this point. And that's the reason why he says, finally,
He gets to this point after he has gone through all the chapters in Ephesians that tells us how to have good spiritual health.
Yes.
He starts all the way back in the fourth chapter and talks about being renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Yes.
He talks about putting off all these sicknesses and diseases like malice and anger and wrath, and you know, and he's, you know, and he talks about, you know, fornication and all those things. Says, you know, you don't even dare even consider going into battle with all those. And he gets us to this point where he says, finally, after you have really gotten in good health and you're, you know, you're strengthened and we've put you through basic and we've ran you 10 miles a day so that you've built up some stamina and you've got yourself together and we've gone through all these verses and, you know, in 4 and 5 and all these of how you're supposed, because you can dress up in all the armor you want, but if you're sick, you can't fight.
That's right.
And if you've got all these things that you're still carrying into warfare tonight, and we're trying sometimes among us to put people in armor who are not whole.
Yeah.
And they're not ready to go to anybody's battle. They're not whole to start with. They need to be hors de combat, or in other words, you know, that term is they need to be in infirmary. Yeah. We need to build them up and strengthen them up and get them whole first before we put them into battle. Before they even go out to fight. You can't fight when you're sick and when you're worn and when you're tired. You know, when you're not ready. And so he spends all these chapters in 4 through 5, and what he's doing is let them to still no more, be angry and sin not. He's getting me spiritually healthy before I can go to the battle.
Yes, yes.
I mean, if I haven't learned to let all bitterness and all wrath and anger and all clamor and all this thing, I'm not even ready for armor.
Yeah.
I'm not able yet to fight. You can dress me up all you want to, but I haven't. But I'm sick.
Yes.
And I'm infirm because I'm angry still, and I'm bitter still, and I've got this going on, I've got that going on, and when you come in, and then when people, you know, and then when you're knowing the Lord, praying for people to come in and be saved and be born again, you know, before I put you in armor, the first few things they do in basic training, they just teach you to, I only know about Air Force Basic, but I'm sure all the rest of them do a lot of the same. The first part of Air Force Basic training, at least it was some years ago, and I assume it has to be at least this way to say, the first few things they teach you in basic training is just about the organization, just about the Air Force itself. The new people in God need to just learn about God.
Yes, yes.
You know, it is a spiritual warfare, but they're not ready for battle yet. They need to just learn about God. They need to know of how the blood washes and how the blood cleanses and what the Holy Ghost does when he comes in and how he comes in and the power of the Holy Spirit. And they need to be built up in the Spirit. We all need to be, even as I'm talking tonight, many of us who are here tonight, you need to be built up in the Spirit. Yes, you need to know that the Holy Ghost comes in and that God's keeping you and that you're not keeping yourself. You need to know that when I was growing up, we used to sing a song. I can't remember how it all went, but it always the last line always went, somebody bigger than you and I.
Yes.
And I don't remember what the whole song's about, but it always is of somebody bigger than you and I. And we need to know, for every one of us who are out here tonight, whatever you're going through, you need to know there's somebody bigger than you. David told Goliath when he went out to fight him, he says, you know, I'm not out here by myself. He said, the Lord's with me. You need to know when you go out, God is with you. I need to spend some time, you know, and let you know that the Lord is with you, and that God never leaves you, and that there's a growth step that comes along. And when Paul starts in chapter 4 and works his way through Ephesians, he's getting these people through this very basic amount of training they need to have. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You're a new person. I need to let everybody know tonight. I don't know the last time somebody told you, but you know you're new in God. And then after you've gone through, I was watching a documentary not too long ago about Apache helicopters and about Abrams tanks and all these things, because I like watching all the hardware things. Not that I'm war-minded. I just like to watch the engineering and stuff. And every so often, they pull them back off the line, and they rebuild them from the ground up. They bring them back, and they refurbish them, and they knock out the dents and the kinks, and they file them down, and they put them in, and they, you know, shine them back up again. And before they put them out in the battle, and maybe tonight, some of you, maybe you need to be refurbished.
Yes, yeah.
You need to know that the blood hasn't lost its power.
Yeah.
You need to know that God still forgives, and you need to know that you're washed and you're cleansed and you've been beat down all day long by, you know, by the devil and his accusations. They're just accusations. They're not real. They're just allegations that you know the truth of, and you need to stand up and say, but that's not me. I've been washed in the blood, and I do have the Holy Ghost. And maybe, you know, maybe I don't speak in tongues as long as somebody, but I do have the Holy Ghost, and I'm standing tonight, and the Lord's on my side, and maybe I can do better, but who among us can't do better?
That's right.
And get on up and go on guard, and go through your spiritual checklist. Do I have any bitterness? And if the answer comes up, yeah, I have something. Say, Lord, take that away. Go through your spiritual checklist and say, have I been honest all day? If the answer is yes, say, yes, I have. And you go on and say, have I forgiven everybody? Does anybody you have forgiven? Ask God, Lord, give me a mind to forgive them and meet it. And go on in God so that you'll be ready that by the time you get down to the verse, it says, finally. Now that I've got you in good health, and now that you're strong, and you know, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. He says, put on the whole armor of God. Finally, I get down to the point now where I need to put on some armor. And put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I can't stand against the wiles of the devil if I haven't learned to forgive yet, because he'll wear me out every time. And if I'm still bitter and envious and got all these things, this is what keeps people who ought to be great in God not great in God. And there are flashes and glimpses of greatness that should be sustained. They're like a flickering light. But, you know, you rock the bulb and the light flickers, and it should be a constant light, but it's not. Because it's not connecting on all these sides. So he says in this, that we may be even standing against the wiles of the devil. And this is after you have, you know, if you haven't, like tonight, you know, if tonight you search in your heart of hearts and you say, there's somebody that I just, you know, say, well, Bishop Smith, how do I know I haven't forgotten? How do I know that perhaps I haven't forgiven someone? It's because you still want to see evil done to them. When you forgive someone, you want the Lord to do something different. When you forgive them, you want to see them be all right.
That's right.
Matter of fact, when you forgive somebody, your anger usually turns to pity. And if anything, you feel sorry for them. And you see them in there. When you forgive someone who hasn't changed, you start seeing them as someone, not someone who's mean and hateful. You start seeing them as someone who's infirm. And you start seeing them as someone who's helpless. And then you start to feel sorry for them, because God, when he looks at us and we're really going through, God is very piteous. He has pity on us when we are doing what we're doing. And God has mercy on us. And he says tonight, if you've gotten through chapters 4 and chapters 5, then he says, put on the whole. He says, now let's go fight. Now let's go fight. Let's rebuke the devil for doing some of the things he's doing. And if you don't know how to rebuke the devil, then go back to Zechariah and watch the Lord rebuke the devil in Zechariah, so that you know it's in the Word of God. You don't mind saying, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. And then when the evil thoughts come and difficult times come, you are able to rebuke the devil. And when you see some people who are down and seems like they've been beaten to the ground, you know, even before you pray to them, you might have to say it under your voice, but when you're walking up to them, you're saying to yourself, and Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Loose them in Jesus' name. Go on in the Lord. And when people are coming into your church and we're praying for them to be saved, many of them, and many times, one of the things we need to do when they walk through the day is we need to start rebuking the devil so that he loses their mind, so that when the gospel goes forth, they'll be able to hear without all the chatter of the devil. Ask God, Lord, give them light that they may see, and you're praying for them. Finally, my brother, but only the people who are strong in the Lord can pray against this warfare. We're too busy trying to make, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, be one-on-one. You're claiming you're wrestling against the devil, but really you're throwing rocks at me.
That's true.
Why are you throwing, you know, but our warfare is not carnal, but it's mighty through God. So if it's not a carnal war, fleshly war, why are you throwing fleshly rocks? You need to throw rocks in the spirit. Throw them in the spirit and throw them at the devil and not me. And if you really think that I'm really down and really going through and you're having a hard time, then you ought to, since you're stronger than me, you're in the spirit, so you claim, you should rebuke the devourer for my sake. You ought to ask the Lord, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Loose him in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
I remember old folks used to say, come out of that place.
Yes.
That's what they were saying.
He says,
put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against whatever the devil brings.
Yes.
However he may come, and it's so many various ways that he comes, because he pushes and pulls at the same time. You know what I mean?
He
pushes you behind your back, and then he has somebody in there pulling you out at the same time. And he says in this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rules of darkness, against the powers, against spiritual darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In other words, in every way the devil can't fight, he does.
Yes, he does.
And every evil he can sin, he sins.
Yes, he does.
In every way that he might affect you. And, you know, as long as he stops you from going on in God, this is one thing that I've never understood about church people. You know, you'll dismount from your spiritual horse to tell me off. You'll get out, you'll take your helmet of salvation off for a minute to tell me off, to make sure you see what I'm saying. And you don't realize that this is what the devil wants you to do.
Yes, right. Yes.
This is why in your spiritual health, you need to get what was in foreign by, so that when you put on this uniform, you're healthy.
Yeah.
By the time you walk into the battlefield, it's not just some weak little person, but you're built up and you're strengthened.
Yeah.
And you got this armor because your body, and you know, the person who's inside is healthy inside of this armor. The armor will sustain you, but the armor is, you know, the armor is for this, is for defense and for fighting. But if the person inside is weak and cancerous to start with, the armor is no good. You'll die with your boots on.
Right, that armor right on you.
So he says in this, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand. Wherefore, after, finally, my brethren, after 4 and 5, he says this, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Wherefore, he says, take unto you, and because you've done all this, and because of who you're fighting, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand an evil day, having done everything you can to stand.
Yeah, everything you can do to stand.
Having done everything you can, you can take it with you, to stand. You're supposed to do all that you can. You know, if I have to forgive you to stand, forgive. Whatever I got to do, do it so I can stand.
Yes.
And keep on going in God. He says in this, I want to read through these tonight, because I'm going to look at a piece tonight. Go help him out. I'm going to look at something tonight that we don't spend a lot of time in. Stand therefore, having your, loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. That's the first one. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you shall be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And I'm going to start in 17. See, because when he talks about this helmet of salvation, and it covers the head, which is the most important part. You cannot live without your head. There's no such thing as a head transplant. You can't live without your head. And so the very first thing that has to happen to you when you come to God before anything else is you got to be saved. That's number one.
Yes.
If you're not saved, then nothing else matters. You can be in the house of God. You can do whatever you want. You can be as out. You can preach. You can teach. But if you're not saved, if you don't have salvation, nothing else matters.
That's right.
That's the most important thing you got to have. I must have my head. You can cut my legs off at the hip. I can live, but I must have my head.
Amen.
You can amputate both arms and all my extremities, but I must have my head to live.
Right.
You can do whatever you want in God, but salvation is a must.
Yes.
You might be stunted and broke. You might be a quadruple quadriplegic. You might be whatever, but you must have the head.
Yes.
In other words, if you're God, you must be saved.
Yes.
The very most of you know, and this is one of the things that the saints need to say to themselves. You know, when the devil's fighting them, they need to be able to say, but you know what? The day probably wasn't the best day. I probably wasn't in the greatest light. And I probably didn't obey God all day, but I am saved though.
Amen. Yes.
We got to first make sure that we are at least saved. He says, put on the helmet of salvation. In other words, I got to protect the most. I got to be saved. That's number one.
Yes.
And then let's go back up. And he says, take the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. And that's, you know, when I look at it, I know how we're outfitted and what we have and how we build armor around ourselves and what we're fighting against. And, one of the things that I look at when he talks about this is in the military, the tanks in the military, they have what they call Chatham armor. And it's an explosive reactive armor. Little square plates they put around the tank that in the nanosecond that your rocket, your dart would hit the tank and punch a hole, it explodes. And it blows up the rocket that would blow you up. It quenches all those darts.
Yes.
And it works really well, and it's so well to, you know, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, the gospel of peace. You're ready to go anywhere. You know, I've got boots on the ground, and I'm ready to go. I've got the gospel, and I've got my sword. I've got the word of God, and I'm going out to fight the devil, and I'm doing all this. And he says on this, and then we get to this last part that I won't get to tonight. I want to talk about more so than anything else. He says, and putting on the breastplate of righteousness. I've got truth. I've got on my web gear. I know, I did it for so many years. I got on my web gear. You know, I've got truth around my waist. In other words, I've got all my extra ammunition. I've got my canteen on. I've got my bayonet on. I've got my first aid kit on. I've got all this stuff on my web gear. I mean, I'm loaded down. I'm ready for it. I've got the truth. I know the truth of the gospel. I've got this. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I've got on, you know, and I'm prepared. And I'm ready to go. And then he says, put on this breastplate of righteousness. And this is what I want to talk about tonight, this breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness refers to our right standing in God. It talks about our holiness.
Yes.
It points to us being holy, and to be holy is to be someone who's, you know, we say, when God says, be ye holy for I am holy, he's talking about his purity.
Yes.
There's no wrong in him. There's nothing about him that's not right, not fair, not just, not, you know, he's pure, he's holy. And we're supposed to be as holy as we can be. And the reason why it's a breastplate of righteousness is because when I go into battle, and I've got my head covered, and you know, military people should know, most people who are killed in combat are not killed because they got their legs blown off, arms blown off. Of course, if the head is blown off, you know, of course, but most people don't take head shots. They're hit in the chest.
Yes.
It's either shrapnel to the chest, bullets to the chest.
Yes.
It's the largest point. When we shoot at people and we're taught to shoot them, you know, only on television is everybody shooting headshots. Everybody else is aiming center mass.
Yes.
They aiming center mass. And the devil aims center mass. And I'll tell you why. This is where my righteousness is. And when we used to go into, we used to go in on fire teams, we would have on our armor like they have now. And inside the armor is a Kevlar plate. At first we used to have steel plates. And they weighed 12 pounds apiece. And by the time you put two in the front and two in the back, you had about 40 pounds of armor. And so when everybody went out, and they didn't think that we go out on convoys in the missile field and places. And since we thought the threat was basically negligible, who's going to attack us in the middle of North Dakota, you know, or whatever, then you can take the plates out.
Yes.
You got on the breastplate, but you can take the plates out. Are you getting me?
All right.
You got on the breastplate, but you can take the righteousness out.
Right. Yes.
You're wearing the breastplate, but it's only as strong as the righteousness that's in it. It's only as strong as the holiness that's in it. And no matter what you do, because your head is covered, your legs are covered, you've got your sword, you've got truth, But this breastplate of righteousness that you have, even though you got salvation, you're going out and your righteousness is weak. That's why I need to be in 4 and 5. Because I hear people talk all the time about the armor of God, and they just skip over having the blessed breastplate of righteousness. I heard them say, protect your front and your rear. Yes, but it's only a good breastplate when your righteousness is strong.
Yes.
When your holiness is there.
Yes.
We used to take those plates out because we weren't expecting to be attacked.
Yes.
And we would, and you know, and even in Vietnam and places, I've heard of people dying because they had on black vests because it was a show.
Yes.
And it looked like they were protected. But they left all the, they left the righteousness, they left the armor in the tent. And they got on the helmet, and they got the sword or the M16. They've got all that. They got on all the web gear. They got on everything. But in that breastplate, which is where the enemy is going to attack more than, you know what God, you know what the devil attacks? He attacks your holiness.
Yes.
He attacks your righteousness.
Yes.
He tries to weaken your armor that's in your breastplate. Comes and tries to pull you back so you feel guilty, and when you feel guilty, you don't feel righteous. Once he gets you to feeling guilty, he causes you to do things that make you not be righteous. He'll have people come in and talk about how holy you're not, because if he can weaken your breastplate, then he's not, he'll never shoot a headshot. Only on television is everybody aim for the head. You hear about people dying. I watched the World War II things, and how they died. A piece of shrapnel tore through the heart. A piece of shrapnel tore through the lungs. A piece of shrapnel. You know, it's always up in here. Up in here. That's why the first thing he names is that breastplate of righteousness.
All right. Yes.
You got to have, if you're not going to live righteous, then everything else is at risk. If you're not going to live holy, then your salvation's at risk. If you're not going to live holy, your feet are at risk. You aren't going anywhere in the gospel. If you're not going to live holy, you got a sword, but you can't use it. If you're not going to live holy, then, oh yeah, you know the truth is strapped on. But if you're not living holy, nothing else matters. The devil will get to you anyway.
Yes, he will. Yes.
Having the breastplate of righteousness. And you can go out to Mans was talking about the other day because he likes to play on his machines where you build things and make stuff and whatever. He asked me, he said, what weapon would you rather have? Would you rather have a weapon of iron or gold? Well, you know, gold's more expensive, but you don't want a gold breastplate.
No,
it's a soft metal.
Yes.
And anything will go through it. You need one of iron that will repel. You need one that's strong. Like I said, now they have Kevlar, which is pretty heavy too. But at first we hear that what was in there was just steel plates, and they were heavy, but you bear them because if you're going to get shot, then we would wear a second chance vest, which is made out of Kevlar, too. It's real thin. It's like a T-shirt, but it's a second chance. So if it goes through this, this will catch it and break every rib you got, but it won't penetrate.
Yes.
Because you're protecting all the vital organs front and back. And you always have somebody when we're on fire teams. And you can always tell whose vest does not have the armor in, because you can just look at it and tell. There's no armor in that.
Yeah.
And they're not expecting to be attacked. Well, ain't that just like the devil? And having done all to stand.
Stand. Yes.
Do everything you can to stand. Because so that you'll be able to repel the wiles of the devil. When you're not righteous, it's when he attacks.
Yep.
When you're telling somebody off and not living holy, that's when he comes.
Yes.
When you're not forgiving, that's when he shows up.
Yes.
When you're hurt and depressed, that's when he comes. And he attacks us because of your righteousness. You see, all these things in chapters 4 and 5, they don't point to your defense. They're not a sword. They're not a shield. They're none of those weapons. Like, they're not the belt that you wear around. It points to those things are the elements of your righteousness. You're not stealing. That's righteousness. You're forgiving. That's righteousness. You're not lying. That's righteousness. You're living right. That's righteousness. You're not fornicating. That's righteousness. You're not drunk. That's righteousness. You're obeying God. That's righteousness. Do you see how big this breastplate is?
All right.
Covers a lot.
Yes.
Do you see where the strength of it is?
Yes.
And having on, and we love, and I got my sword, and I go out with my sword. Well, you may as well go out with a sword fighting naked if you don't have righteousness as a breastplate. just there. And they're not shooting at the head. He, the devil, knows not to go directly to any one of us and say, won't you stop being saved?
Yeah.
He never says to us, why don't you put off salvation? Why don't you quit being saved? Why don't you come on? He never does
yes,
that. He
right.
attacks your
yes.
righteousness.
Yes, yes, yes.
Your breastplate is only as strong as your righteousness.
Yes, all right.
Does your breastplate have the righteousness inside of it? Or are you just wearing the outer shell? Does it have that armor, that righteousness? See, because you can shoot me in the leg, I might not die. Both arms, I can lose the sword. You know, and then you say, well, what if I shoot you in the head? Well, you know, if you stop living safe, then all's for naught anyway.
Yeah.
You know, the helmet is not, if you stop being safe, the rest doesn't really matter.
That's right. You're going anyway. You're dead anyway.
But if you're going to continue to fight,
yes,
then you got to protect this.
You got to protect it.
You can crawl to safety with one leg if your chest is okay and intact. If you're not broken up in here, if when the grenade blows up, the fragments are caught in that vest and not in your chest.
Yes, yes.
When the IUD goes off, you can you might be a quadriplegic. You might be missing a leg, but if it didn't catch in this chest area,
if it didn't get that,
you can make it back. And you might have the scars, but you will live.
When
the devil comes, you might have some scars, but you will live.
That's all right.
But if you don't have that breastplate of righteousness, no righteousness in it. And I'm walking around with my helmet and my sword talking about how strong I am. But you're not ready to fight the devil.
No.
The least thrust will run you through and almost kill you. And you'll be ready to sit down on the battlefield, take off your helmet, and throw it on the ground, throw down your sword and say, what am I fighting for?
Yes.
You won't be able to stand in the evil day.
Yes.
Having the breastplate of righteousness. I must, if I'm going to be in God, and I'm going to be anything, I have to be righteous. But he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That we might be made holy through him. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord.
Amen.
Holiness, everybody stand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We used to sing a song in Faith Temple a long time ago. And the song was, Lord, I want to be holy. And I can't put it together how it used to go, but it was a beautiful song. And it's one of the things that we must live as holy. That breastplate of righteousness is important, and most people don't preach about it. That gear up to verse of chapter 5 and 4, that's important. That's the preparation before you can put on the arm of God. If you haven't gone through 4 and 5, you're too sick. You're not ready to join the battle. You know, you're infirm. I don't feel no way. This is where we're standing. I want you to remind me.
Do me, Lord.
And I want you to do like David said. David says, when I'm not right, he said, come and find me. Lord, when I'm not living right, when things are right, I want you to come and find me. And I want the Holy Spirit to say to me, I want to hear him say to me, you need to do something differently.
Yes.
Turn me around and restore my righteousness. Lord, I want you to lead me in the pathway of righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, I want to be right in you, O God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I want you to touch everyone tonight, oh God. Touch us and build us up. Fill us with your spirit. In Jesus' name, Lord. Touch us in our holiness. Touch us in our righteousness, oh God. Lord, make us righteous. Make us holy. Wash us again. Renew us again. Take us through the fourth and fifth chapters and let us check it off again and see if that's where we are. In the name of Jesus. God, build us up and see this is true. Lord, heal all those who need healing tonight. In Jesus' name. Lord, remember all the Rosses tonight, her mother tonight, her family situation, oh God. Lord, strengthen her with might by your spirit that she would be able to do what you've given her to do. And Lord, strengthen her in body like never before, oh God. Bring her along. Lord, remember Elder Mickey Melvin's family tonight, oh God. And what they're going through and how they're making it. Lord, I pray you would comfort them. Lord, in a way that only you can do. Lord, we can talk about comforting them, but we're not the ones who are going through what they go through. Lord, even we weep with those who weep, oh God. Even if we do that, Lord, we're not able to be where they are, oh Lord. Lord, we ask you to just bless them. And just see them through, oh God. In Jesus' name. Lord, do what we're not able to do. Lord, heal the sick tonight. Heal all those in, you know, who are on Zoom tonight. Touch them tonight. We thank you for every healing. Thank you for every thing that you brought out, Lord. And in the name of Jesus, oh God. Lord, I pray that you rebuke the devourer for our sake. Lord, rebuke the devil who devours our health and devours our peace. Devours our life. Devours our mind. Devours our joy. Devours our happiness. Say to the Lord, rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Lord, set us free from all hurt, harm, and disease tonight. In Jesus' name. Lord, bless the people of God. Lift them up. And add to our number. Lord, bless all the saints of God who come to promise. Lord, build them up and strengthen them in spirit. Lord, they're weak in spirit. Father, they are poor in spirit. Lord, strengthen them in spirit, oh God. Lord, it's not money they need. It's more of the Holy Ghost. Lord, it's not health they need. It is more of the Holy Spirit. Lord, strengthen us in spirit, oh God. Lord, before all else, no matter what we're going through and what we're doing, Lord, strengthen us in the inner man. Strengthen us with might by your spirit in the inner man. Lord, for every person who's ever sitting in a seat in promise, those who are coming now, Lord, strengthen them in spirit, oh God. Lord, that they would be able to resist the wiles of the devil. Lord, that they would be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, oh God. In Jesus' name. Lord, that they'd be able to glorify you. Come in, oh God. Lord, and strengthen us as a people of God. Lord, we are kept by your power divine. Lord, by your grace and by your mercy. Lord, I pray on all of us, Lord. Lord, stir us up. Renew us, oh God. Give us new life, new strength, oh God. Lord, give strength to our spirit. Strength to our bodies, oh God. Lord, touch us and quicken us by the Holy Ghost, Lord, that we would be up and running for God. And Lord, we'll glorify your name. Lord, we bless you for all the battles you fought. Lord, we thank you for every way, Lord, you ran the devil off. Lord, each time, Lord, you kept us. Lord, time after time, Lord, you fought our battles, oh God. Lord, you've gone out with us as you've gone out with David. Lord, when we stood and faced the enemy, Lord, it wasn't us winning, it was you.
Yes.
Lord, we glorify your name.
Glorify your Holy
we give you all the honor. Lord, we stand because, Lord, you have kept us.
Yes.
And Lord, we worship you, O God.
Yes.
Lord, we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise in Jesus' name. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Thank God for his goodness and his mercy tonight.
Thank God for his righteousness and for his holiness. Thank God for all of you on YouTube and for all of us that are here tonight. I thank God for you.